Power Records presents...
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Power Records Podcast, where the action comes alive. I'm your host, Rob Kelly, and joining me, as always, is Chris Franklin from Supermates Podcast. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. How are you?
Very good. And barging his way into this episode, for the first time and the last, it is the irredeemable Shag from the Fire and Water Podcast and Hero Points. Shag, how are you doing, Shag?
I'm doing fantastic. So this is what this place looks like. I'd never been in the Power Records studio before.
It's
I like all
nice,
the stuff on the
it?
Walls. Those yes. are cute.
It's all the original Neil Adams artwork. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow. So how many episodes is this that you've done?
This is, I think, 12, I think we've done.
12, and you're finally getting around to having me on the show. Huh. Isn't that awfully nice?
Wasn't my idea. The reason Shag is here is because he threatened me with bodily harm if we did not have him on to cover a particular Superman audio adventure. And so we figured, let's go ahead and get it out of the way in the spirit of the new year and brotherhood and all that crap. We're going to have him on. So we are going to be talking about three stories from the same record. It is going to be the 1975 Superman LP. Really, none of these Power Records ever have any names. The closest we get is Superman Three New Adventures. And the three audio adventures we're going to be talking about are The Best Cop in the World, The Mix Is Piddalick Up Menace, and Tomorrow the World. But before we get to that, we are going to thank our sponsor, InStock Trades. This episode of the Fire and Water Podcast is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades is your best online source for trades, hardcovers, other collected editions, all for up to 45% off, with free shipping of orders of $50 or more. One of the deals they have going on right now that I'm going to talk about is Superman Golden Age Sundays, 1943 to 1946 hardcover. This is basically what it sounds like. It's a really beautifully collected edition of all the Superman color Sunday pages from the Superman comic strip, daily newspaper strip, from 1943 to 1946. Writers, artists are Wayne Boring, Jack Schiff, and others. It's put out by IDW, not DC, oddly enough. I have the Batman one of this, and it's just such a beautiful book. Its normal price is $49.99. In stock trades price is $34.99. That's 30% off. It's a beautiful book. Absolutely go check it out if you're a fan of old newspaper strips like I am. So it's absolutely worth the $35. Shag, what do you have?
Well, I have got a collection called Superman, Our Worlds at War Complete Edition. This is a massive tome, 512 pages. Yeah, I'm not kidding, 512 pages in color. And this collects the giant crossover from the early 2000s. It's a typical Superman alien invasion kind of story. But it's one, check out the powerhouse of writers on this. Jeff Loeb, Joe Casey, Mark Schultz, Joe Kelly, Peter David, art by Ed McGuinness, Mike Waringo, Doug Monkey, Ron Garney, Leonard Kirk. I mean, just amazing, amazing groups of artists and writers. And it's a fun story. And, you know, again, great alien invasion story, 512 pages. Normally retails for $24.99. You can get it on InStock Trades right now for 45% off. And that gives you a price of only $13.74 for 512 pages of super fun. And does anyone know why I picked this one?
No.
Besides Superman, obviously. Because during this period of time, the president of the United States was Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. See? Yeah. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I think that was right about the time I checked out of the DC Universe.
A power-mad corporate guy, president of the United States? That could never happen.
Very prescient of the DC Universe. So, sounds like a good idea. Chris, what about you?
I actually have one that ties into the album as well. It is Superman Adventures of Nightwing and Flamebird, trade paperback. It collects stories from Superman Family, number 173 and 183 and 194. So, it takes place in the Bottle City of Kandor, which mm-hmm. figures into this album. It has stories by Paul Kupperberg, Cary Bates, art by Ken Landgraf, Kurt Schaffenberger, and Marshall Rogers. Retail price is $19.99. In-stock trade price, $11.59. That's 45% off. And I actually have this book, and it's a lot of Bronze Age fun, so go check it out.
Good deal. All right, thanks, everybody. For these and all the other trade paperback needs, visit InStockTrades.com, and we thank them for their support. All right, now we're on to the show here. As I said, we are going to talk about this one particular record. I know we've never covered any Superman stories to this point, Chris. Can you believe it?
We did.
Mike Bailey and I did the Christmas thing for the second episode, but that was just one Superman story. But considering all the different Superman records, we've never done one to this point. So this was long overdue. So like I said, the album that we're going to be covering is just called Superman, Three New Adventures, The Best Cop in the World, The Mixes, Piddalick Up Menace, and Tomorrow the World. So we're going to talk about the first one, which is Best Cop in the World, but let's get right to it. So without further ado, here's The Best Cop in the World.
In Superman's Fortress of Solitude stands Kandor, the city in a bottle, stolen and miniaturized by a space pirate before the explosion of the planet Krypton. In this controlled environment, a million microscopic inhabitants keep the towering civilization of Superman's native world alive. Standing at the podium before a capacity audience in the city's civic center is Dar Bomb, Kandor's Commissioner of Science Police.
The annual Science Police Award ceremonies. To present the decorations for outstanding officers of the past year, I am privileged to present a man whose visits from the outside world are not nearly often enough. Kal-El, known to most of the galaxy as Superman.
Thank you, fellow Kandorians. The job of being a Superman is very different from being a policeman. And so it is, with the greatest respect, that I call Science Police Officer Ron Zah to the podium to accept.
Look, a man with a gravy gun!
Hello, are you all right? Thank the fate you ducked in time.
I'm going to do more than that, Ron Zah.
He's running away!
Look out for that gun!
Somebody stop him!
Hold on, Kal-El!
Let go of me, Ron Zah. You're keeping me from
getting hurt. You don't have your superpowers here in Kandor. Not in an environment just like Krypton's.
But
let me do what I've been trained for. Watch.
Over there, Ronza. He's hiding behind that statue.
Everyone clear the complex now. You've nowhere to run, you Kandorian scum.
Make a move for me and my gravity gun will blast your atoms apart.
Blast away. It won't save you.
Ronza's been hit.
But look, his uniform is deflecting a gravity beam back at the tower. And it's...
A neat trick, Ron Zah. How did you pull it off?
Simple, Kal-El. Policemen on Earth are sometimes known to wear bulletproof vests. But we science police in Kandor have gone them one better. Our uniforms repel a would-be killer's ammunition right back to the source.
He's in critical shape, but after a few hours in the rehabilitation booth, he'll be completely recovered.
And then he can stand trial for attempting to assassinate our distinguished guest of honor.
I'm indebted to you, Ron Zah. That was a fine display of police work.
That's our Ron. Now you know how he got the reputation of being Kandor's finest.
After many fond farewells, Superman leaves the microscopic confines of the tiny bottle city as the microwave beamer in his fortress restores him to normal size. And then it's the Arctic fortress he leaves behind as he streaks back to Metropolis and his job as mild-mannered Clark Kent, anchorman for WGBS-TV News.
Let's go over it again. Mr. Edge, I wanted to talk to you because...
Wait, I think I got it. Mr. Edge, I wanted to talk to you because I really think I'm entitled to more. I mean, it's my opinion that, well, if it's all right with you, of course, could you please, maybe...
No, Clark. All wrong. Stop hedging. You just tell him you want a raise and you know you deserve it. That's all there is to it.
But, Lois, I couldn't be that blunt. Not with Mr. Edge. It wouldn't be right.
Sometimes, Clark, I wonder why I even bother with you at all.
That plane's in trouble!
The engines are on fire!
It's out of control!
Oh, my gosh, Clark, it's going to hit the Galaxy Building. Can't anybody do something?
I can, but not standing around here. I've got to slip away and change to...
Look, Clark, up in the sky!
Great Scott!
Hey, that's not Superman!
You could have fooled me! Look what he's doing!
I don't believe this, Clark. A man in a weird costume grabbed the fuselage of that plane and is flying it to safety just like Superman would.
Believe me, Lois, I'm as surprised as you are. I'd better find a telephone booth and phone this story into the station.
Okay, Clark, but the newspaper byline is mine.
But instead of finding a phone, Clark Kent finds a deserted alley, and a heartbeat later, the soft-spoken reporter sheds his clothes to become the mighty Man of Steel himself. Superman! And a few moments later, at Metropolis Airport, an astounded ground crew has watched an amazing demonstration.
Phew. You don't look like Superman, but you sure operate like him. You brought that twin-engine job in on your shoulders and put out the flames with super breath just like a real pro.
Yeah, but if you're not Superman, who are you, buddy?
I assure you, my name is not Buddy.
His name is Rongzar, gentlemen.
Superman!
The real one!
Greetings, Kal-El. I knew it wouldn't take you long to find me.
You and I have some things to discuss, Rongzar. What do you say we talk in private? About 50,000 feet up?
After you.
Gee, now it looks like Metropolis has two Supermen.
Looks like. I just hope...
What is it?
I just hope those two are friends.
Here we are, leveling off at 50,000 feet.
Let's have it, Rongzar. Why have you followed me to the outside world?
Because in Kandor, I'm the best there is. You gave me an award that says so. But what does a superior city like Kandor need with an expert crime fighter?
You were born and trained there. That's where you belong.
I belong here on Earth. I'm better at this than you are. This planet is a mess, Kal-El. With Kryptonian superpowers along with my training, I'll be a super cop.
But you know nothing about superpowers. I've had them since I was a baby, and even I make mistakes sometimes.
That's because you're an amateur and I'm a professional.
Where are you flying off to?
I've got work to do. Got to show you what superpowers and training can do.
Over the next several days, Rongzar of Kandor tries to prove his boast as the people of Metropolis and the world take notice.
This is Clark Kent with a WGBS TV news summary. The mysterious supercop continues to dominate the headlines. Today, he issued summonses to 36,000 jaywalkers, and he heat-beamed the engines of 12,000 cars he claimed were polluting the air too much. Several days ago, he said that since most crimes occur in the nighttime hours, people would need a special pass from him to walk the streets of Metropolis after 9 p.m. WGBS reporter Jimmy Olsen filed this report on today's demonstration against the curfew.
Here on the left bank of the Metropolis River, over 15,000 marchers have shown up for this demonstration against the rules laid down by... A new development. The super cop has entered the scene. He seems to be... Yes, he's coming over here.
You're a reporter. I'd like to make a statement.
My audience is yours.
I'd like Metropolis to know there will be no more demonstrations against any laws issued by me. Anything I decree is necessary for the welfare of...
Superman!
Hello, Jimmy. Rongzar, I believe you're making a mistake here.
Move along, Kal-El. You should have done this years ago yourself.
Maybe so. But the right to protest is guaranteed by law to all American citizens. You can no more limit that right legally than commit grand theft.
Oh, I'll be back.
Both Superman and the Super Cop are flying off now. No, the Super Cop is diving into the river. It looks like... Hey, a water spout is popping up where he dove in. The water from the river is rising up and beginning to tumble from the sky onto the demonstrators. It's a cloud burst, and there isn't a cloud in the sky, and it's breaking up the march. The super cop can't stop the demonstration directly, but there's no law against making it rain. This is Jimmy Olsen for WGBS TV News.
This is Clark Kent back in the WGBS studio. The curfew and the new rules are still in effect, and Superman has made no public statement on the matter. We'll have more news after this word from our sponsor.
Hey, Clark, where are you running off to? You've got a newscast to finish.
This is no time for a coffee break. It's only a 60-second commercial.
But the mild-mannered newsman has a far more pressing problem on his mind as he finds a deserted stockroom a few doors up from Studio B.
Reading that report on Rongzar's policies was the last straw. It's about time someone told him Metropolis cannot be run like a police state. And that someone is... Superman!
But elsewhere in the city at that moment, Another super-powered figure patrols a neighborhood at low altitude.
Look at these Earthling citizens. Many of them duck into their houses and automobiles as I pass by. This is the way they should regard the law, with great respect and perhaps a little fear. That's what Kal-El's biggest mistake was. He made everyone take Superman for granted, as if he were on their level. He didn't know the law has to be set above the general public for it to function. Now, that's odd. Some sort of strange light beams seem to be emanating from that automobile junkyard up ahead. This bears investigating. The radiation is very weak, and coming from that one primitive automobile over... The headlights of that car turned on some horrible death ray. Can't stand up?
No, you can't, can you? Any more than Superman could if you were he.
Who are you? Crouched in the car. Show yourself.
Delighted to, Super Cop, or whatever you call yourself. I'm Lawrence Gabriel, and these quasar beams causing you so much discomfort are a rather brilliant invention of mine.
Why would you want to kill me?
It wasn't you I was commissioned to destroy. It was Superman. But when the crime syndicate boss is here, you fell into my trap instead. I'm sure they'll be almost as delighted. I'll try to make it to your funeral, old man.
No! Where are you going? How do I get out of here?
Oh, just turn off the headlights. If you can crawl that far.
My super hearing. Picking up the sound of children playing elsewhere in this awful graveyard. If I can throw my voice to them with super ventriloquism.
And elsewhere in the large junkyard.
Found you, Joey. Your shirt was sticking out behind the door.
It did not. You didn't see me until after I...
Attention. This is Ronza of the Science Police.
Where's that voice coming from? From nowhere?
I need your help, boys. Please come to the northeast corner of this junkyard. Immediately.
It's one of that creepo super cop's tricks. I don't know about you, but I ain't getting caught.
Me neither. Maybe he passed a law that says you get the electric chair for playing in junkyards.
I'm done for. Little children are afraid to come near me, even when I'm helpless as a fish. Maybe Kal-El was right. Perhaps my methods were wrong. That sound... Is there time for home? Kal-El! Now I know why they call you Superman.
No time for that. The switches in this car are rusted and useless. I'll have to help the owner of this junkyard by crushing this particular car for him.
Superman, Kal-El. You saved my life. How can I thank you?
By doing your duty to your people, our people in Kandor. I received a message just minutes ago that a crime wave has broken out, and the authorities are at their wits' end. I have work to do here, but in Kandor, they need you.
But that scientist, Gabriel, he'll get away.
I just delivered him personally to a federal prison. Been waiting for him to show his face so I could nab him for weeks. That's how I learned where you were. Now, if you'll excuse me, Ronza. I have work to do.
As I do. Home in Kandor, where they need me. As for Earth, well, I guess there's only one Superman.
And that was the best cop in the world. Fellas, what do we think about this one?
This was kind of my favorite one out of them. The one that I remember the most. That jumps out at me the most.
It's super fun. I mean, there's a lot of fun bits in there. There's a lot of wackiness. Is it just me, or does Ronza sound like Sam the Eagle?
He does. Oh, he sounds exactly like Sam the Eagle. Yes.
and clearly, he was a cop in Los Angeles before Kandor. I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when you refer to people in your own city as Kandorian scum. I mean, it's like, wait a minute, aren't you Kandorian? I mean, how does that work? Okay.
I feel like the people should fear the police a little bit. Like, okay, all right, everybody calm down here.
Well, if you step back from it at a 10,000-foot level, it's a fun story. It tells a nice story about somebody who's trying to do the right thing but going about it the wrong way, someone who's overzealous. And that's always a good sort of tale, morality story for kids. So it makes for a very good morality tale. But once you really start digging into it, I mean, there's a lot of little things. Like, you know, like you talked about, Kandorian scum, you know, and the – okay, I got to point out, Superman tells him to go back where he belongs at one point. I mean, it just – it comes out as – I don't know if racist is the right word, but certainly some sort of discrimination. You know, but why can't Kandorians come out and live in the real world? Why do they have to stay in the bottled city, Superman? Are you the only one worthwhile? They don't address that. Now, I'm sure in the comics they did over the years, but it's never addressed here.
It does seem amazingly cruel that Superman can come and visit Kandor at will and then be like, hey, I'm out of here and go back to the real world. See you guys later.
Right, yeah, this brings up a lot of that, you know, if you really stop and think about it. I mean, he saves a plane, and, you know, before he even starts acting like, you know, fascist super cop, Superman's like, you know, you need to go back, you don't belong here. I mean, it's like, whoa, super dickery.
Yeah,
right.
Now, as I mentioned, this came from an LP, a Superman LP that was just an LP, but they did do a comic book version of it right around the same time. There is a book and record set which features Best Cop in the World and Tomorrow the World as the full-length comic versions. It's drawn by Ross Andrew, and he kind of makes this guy look a little doofy, actually a lot doofy. So to me, it takes away some of the drama, because he's a very sort of scary character, but the helmet that Ross Andrew gives him is just so dorky looking that I find him less threatening just when I have the visuals here. It was much better sort of in my imagination.
You know, his voice, I know he does sound like Sam the Eagle, but there's almost like a bizarro type cadence to his voice too, which is just like, I just get this idea of this kind of beefy, I haven't seen the comic, but this beefy, you know, just not, just kind of thick-headed guy, you know, but maybe not with a dorky helmet. But
it's a little dorky, yeah. You know what the weird thing here is, Rob? Like, okay, so I demanded on being on this episode, and rightfully so, because I, as a child, listened to Tomorrow the World, which is, I guess, the next story we're covering?
No, it's going to last. It's gonna
okay, the last story we're covering. And I listened to the crap out of that as a kid. And I have to assume I had the 45 because I remember the comic distinctly as well. I don't remember the Super Cop story. Like, I remember hearing it, but I don't remember the pictures.
Okay.
So were they packaged together?
Well, they never did Tomorrow the World as a 45. So you could not have had it. Now, I guess I shouldn't say they never did, because in all the years I've been doing the Power Records blog, I keep discovering new things. I keep thinking that's it. There's no more to find. And then I do find something new. But I have never seen Best Cop in the World or Tomorrow the World in 45 form ever on eBay or on Google. So I don't think they exist. I think they only exist on these two LPs.
So, okay. And I guess I shouldn't really specify 45. I just mean it's separately broken apart. Like, you know, was Tomorrow the World ever sold by itself with just the comic? I don't know. I don't know why I would remember one crystal clear and not the other. It's so strange.
Memory's weird like that.
Yeah. In fact, in college, years later, I went back. I don't know. It was a junk store or something like that. And I found the large LP, the big one that just has the pink cover.
Right.
I found that one and was astounded and bought it. And it wasn't until after I listened to it a couple times that I remembered, well, wait a minute, there was a comic that went with this too. And, you know, back then, I had no idea there was a billion different formats that they, you know, that they had repainted these things more than the Mexican superpowers, your ripoff figures, repackaged them, I should say. So just fascinating to me that I recognize one crystal clear and the other not at all.
Yeah, as, like I said, as far as I've ever been able to see, that they never did this as its own little single thing. It was only on LPs, but Power Records said there is no record, no pun intended, of these, you know, anywhere. My blog is probably the closest anybody's come, because, like you said, as Chris has will attest, because he's been following the blog when I was still updating it, we kept finding new things. You know, like, there was like look at this. They did a Conan record that I never knew about, or they did a this. So I keep hoping I will find something, but I think I have all the Supermans to date. But anyway, that's Best Cop in the World. Let's move right on to the next. Yes?
I just want to say two last things. Lois's voice is just grating. Like, Lois to me is like a sexy, sexy, sexy lady. And then the voice they give her in this is just like, ugh. She like reminds me of a substitute kindergarten teacher or something. It's just really unpleasant. And then the last thing, I'm pretty sure, because you remember Ronza, right? He's doing all this stuff and he ends up in the junkyard, right? And there's that mercenary who's taking him out with the kryptonite headlights and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Superman hired that guy.
I'm pretty sure he started the crime wave in Kandor to get him to go back, you know.
Something like that. Because, yeah, oh, yeah, you're probably right. Well, it's just the mercenary is like, yeah, somebody paid me off. And they just, and Superman's like, I arrested him and took him away. Like, really? Did you really? Okay, I see how that works. You paid Jimmy a couple more bucks. Like, thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate your help.
I feel like if that happened, Superman probably got that from the Batman playbook. That seems like a dirty trick that Batman would pull. That would not occur to Superman to do. But that's probably very true. Anything else on this one before we move on?
Nope.
I think that I do kind of like that Superman kind of, you know, tells him, oh, you need to go back to, there's a crime wave in Kandor. If this had been a modern story, it would have ended with them just beating the piss out of each other for, you know, 15 minutes. So, you know, Superman used his brain back then, you know, more. He didn't think with his fists so much, so kind of missed that.
I bet you he pushes that cork down on the Kandor lid a lot tighter this time.
It probably also would have been stretched over 6 Power Records and collected as a trade paperback, but that's all other thing. Yes. So
the 3D cover.
Yeah, with the 3D cover. So, yeah, we're going to move on to the second story, which is the Mick says Piddalick up Menace. And I'm not going to say that again, so here it is.
On the world of Xerth, in the fifth dimension, is a civilization with certain striking similarities to our own. For example, their language is very close to English, except for certain words that have no vowel sounds. On this world lives an impish, practical joking gentleman whom we can begin to overhear as he dictates his recorded diary. His name? Mr. Mixel.
Last time I went to Earth, I made everyone in Metropolis speak a different language. The time before, I made all the statues come alive and take over the city. The time before that, I gave everyone in town magical powers like mine. And Superman went bonkers trying to keep the whole coast from blowing off. But every time I showed up, old muscle brains managed to trick me into saying my name backwards and magically sending myself home to the fifth dimension. Ha! Those Earth rubes can barely say Mixtuptook forward, let alone, hey, there's an idea. Those lunkheads' words are all peppered with vowels. A's and E's all over the place. I's, O's, U's in nearly every word they've got. What if they couldn't make those sounds anymore, eh? Wow! I'm off!
Meanwhile, several dimensions away in Metropolis' fabulous Galaxy Communications building.
I'd just like to see what you do to get out of this one, Clark Kent. We were both sitting in that helicopter yesterday when all of a sudden Superman swooped down from the sky to save the little girl falling from the building. I turned to see if you got a picture of it and...
And lo and behold, I'm not in my seat, right, Lois?
And you know what I think that means.
Oh, nonsense, Lois. There's a perfectly reasonable explanation.
How long do you need to dream it up this time? No, I've got you dead to rights and... Eep! Clark! Out the window! What's wrong with me? I meant to tell Clark that plane's about to crash. What's wrong with me? Why do I sound funny?
Excuse me, Oz. Why can't I talk straight? Hey, what's going on? I meant to say, why can't I talk straight?
For at the very moment an out-of-control plane threatens to make Midtown Metropolis its landing strip, the pair of reporters find that their speech has been impaired. Nonetheless, Clark Kent darts down the hall to a storeroom.
No time to trade quips with Lois about being tongue-tied together. This is a job for Superman.
Up, up. Up and away flies the Man of Steel to catch the tumbling plane on his harder-than-steel shoulders without a wince. And the city, watching from below, breathes a mute sigh of relief as slowly, gradually, the plane is set on its own course without damage. The city is mute because no one at all can utter the sound of a vowel.
That pilot got disoriented when instructions over his radio came in with no vowels. He lost control. What can I say? What words have no vowels? Why? Rhythm? Can't make a sentence out of those words. Wait, there's another word that has no vowels. And that's the word I'm betting is responsible for this mess. Mixpitalk! Mixpitalk!
You rang, Soupy?
You bet ring, you ridiculous little creep.
You bet I rang, you ridiculous little creep. Are those the words you're looking for, physical one?
What's this mess anyway? Let me talk, will you?
What's the idea of this mess anyway? Let me talk, will you? Oh, you want to talk, do you? Are you sure you have something to contribute to this conversation?
You bet I do. Hey, you magicked me. I can talk.
Very observant, locker room breath. You were saying?
I was saying you're mad, insane, missing your marbles. You're the only opponent I've ever run into who's made me actually lose my temper.
More fun than daytime TV, hey, Soupy Baby?
When are you going to give the vowels back to the rest of the people in town?
Not in the foreseeable future. Matter of fact, I was thinking of depriving the two of us pretty soon as well.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't, would you? No, no, no!
Yes, yes, yes! Bye-bye!
As the imp from the fifth dimension vanishes, his mischievous magic stays behind, and a tongue-tied city as well as its super-powered guardian have their hands full.
Phew! Mixed Petalk's been on Earth just a few hours, and already I've had to help the control tower at the airport by hand-carrying 17 planes to a landing before closing the runway. Then I broke up 46 arguments that were turning into street fights because people couldn't make themselves understood. What next?
Hey, Superman!
Mixed Petalk?
He bit! There's a bank hold up at the first Metropolis Bank. Want to stop it?
He says there's a bank hold up at the first Metropolis Bank. Want to stop it? You bet I want to stop it!
As the Metropolis Marvel streaks to the scene at the bank across town, a small-time thug threatens already panicky people with a gun when... Whether or not he has the gift of speech, bullets still bounce harmlessly off the indestructible chest of a Man of Steel. And the would-be robber is momentarily rendered harmless to everyone else as well.
Mixpitalk? Figured something.
Superman says he figured something out right here in this bank. Will wonders never cease?
There is nothing can see with the rules. I told the imp there's one sentence I can say without vowels, and he's curious. I'll write it down for him. Akol tapos yetsom.
That's loaded with vowels. Soupy's gone crackers, and I'll prove it by showing him how this vowel-less wonder sounds when I pronounce it without the vowels. Kultibzixum. Hey, that's my name spelled backwards. My magic's gone, and I'm going too. I'll get back at you, you super creepo. You just wait.
Superman, I can talk again.
So can I. How can we ever thank you, Superman?
That won't be necessary, ladies and gentlemen, but right now...
And soon, at the Galaxy Building, Clark Kent and Lois Lane resume their long-standing argument.
All right, Clark. I can buy the idea that you panicked and ran off when you thought you were losing your voice. That's what a lot of people did. But you still can't explain away your disappearance in the helicopter yesterday.
Well, as I was about to explain, I ran to the back of the Whirlybird to see what was going on more clearly as Superman saved the little girl.
Sure, I'll bet you saw it clearly. I'm supposed to believe that.
Will you believe these photos? You didn't notice that your camera vanished at that moment, too. Does that mean the camera is secretly Superman, too?
Pictures of Superman saving the falling child. You took these with my camera, Clark?
Sure shooting. What I didn't say is that I set up the camera outside the copter and tripped the shutter with super breath from long distance.
Clark, I don't know how you wheedle out of these things.
I tell you what, Lois. Since it was your camera, you can put them in the Daily Planet under your own name. Maybe that'll teach you to be more trusting.
Blimey.
And that was the Mrs. Piddaluck. See, I can't say it. The Mrs. Piddaluck up Menace. It's so hard to say. This one was one I definitely remembered so much from my childhood, because the whole bit about Superman trying to come up with words that don't have vowels in them and stuff. I love that idea where he's like, why? Rhythm can't make a sentence out of those words. I just never forgot that for some reason. Chris, what did you think of it?
I think this is where I learned about vowels, honestly. I think, you know, because I had this before I went to school. So, I think I got the pink album that Shaq called it, where, you know, Superman's smiling while he punches you right in the face. The great Neil Adams artwork. I think I got that at Lee's Drug here in town. So Lee's Drug had a bunch of cool stuff, like, you know, those gigantic coloring books that were like the size of a coffee table.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, and those Imperial Marvel hand puppets and weird things like that. But they had Power Records sometimes too. But anyway, this one always stuck out in my head too. But I never could figure out how do you say Mixius Piddaluck until the animated series, because they call him, I don't even remember what they call him here. It's like they're trying to stumble over it. Yeah, it's like Mixoplick or something. And on the Super Friends, he was Mixoplick, you know. So until, you know, Gilbert Gottfried, you know, gave us a, you know, visual to spell out his name on the animated series, I was like, oh, that's how you pronounce Mixius Piddaluck.
That's such a brilliant episode.
Yeah, it is. I love that one. But yeah, this one, you know, I do think it's funny when I was re-listening to it. It sure sounds like when Superman, of course, he can't talk straight, but it sounds like he calls Mixie a ridiculous little prick. And I just like almost started like busting out laughing at work. I'm like, I wonder if they realized that sounded like that.
I will never be able to not hear that now.
Right.
Listen to it again. Shaq, what did you think of it?
Well, I'm pretty sure I have only heard this one a couple of times. Like, I did not grow up with this one. So I heard it when I bought the Pink album, which is sort of like the Beatles' White album, but it's a little bit different. And then, you know, again, for getting ready for this. So I don't have the nostalgia to it. The first thing that jumps out at me is that there is a serious plane falling out of the sky problem in Metropolis. I mean, the last story of a plane was falling out of the sky. This story of planes falling out of the sky. What is the deal with that town? There's like a plane magnet underneath the, you know, the harbor or something. I don't know. It was fun. The vowel thing was cute. It went on a minute or two too long for my taste, probably. And this Mitsuplik, by the way, is the proper way to say it, because that's what they said on Super Friends, and that's what I grew up on. So for me, that's the proper way. He had such a distinctive voice. Like, when I think of Mitsuplik or Mitzi's Piddaluck, whatever, I still hear the voice from Super Friends. Even though Gilbert Gottfried did an amazing job in the Superman animated series, not taking anything away from that. I'm just going back to what's in my childhood. And so hearing this guy as Mitzi's Piddaluck or Mitsuplik, it just didn't seem mischievous enough. It just sounded like, you know, some guy. So I had a hard time buying into this one. Sorry for those of you that love it.
This one of the three was the most repurposed. It was done as a book and record set on LP, and it was done as a 45. The 45 features a great cover of Superman looking just so annoyed at Mixius Piddaluck. There's this great. It's drawn by Neil Adams, and he just has this such irritated face. It's one of Neil Adams' best Power Record sleeves, and that's saying something. So I would love to know how Power Records determined which ones of these to repurpose and which ones they didn't. But again, trying to find interviews with these guys are impossible. But
someone on a Kickstarter or a book.
Somebody should, but I'm never going to do that. So I'm done with Kickstarter. So anyway, that's the Mixes Pull Up Menace. I enjoy it quite a bit. It's probably my least favorite of the three, but just by a hair, just because it's – and the guy who did the voice, the guy who does Mixes Piddaluck, Power Records, as Chris and I have discovered, Power Records did manage to find good voice actors for when they want to have somebody high-pitched and annoying. Because they had those guys on the Star Trek records, and it's probably the same guy.
I listened
guy.
To that episode. Yeah. I'm still having nightmares.
Yeah, yeah. They really managed to find guys that were just like, you're just like a voice, just like, oh my god, it was awful.
Yeah, I kind of like Mixie's voice on here. I thought he had, you know, it wasn't too far off from the Super Friends guy, but he had just enough snark in his voice. He really did come across as like a little condescending pain in the butt, you know. I mean, I appreciated that. These do feel like Bronze Age Superman stories.
Yes,
I mean,
there's
just little bits in there, you know, like in one where, you know, Lois is coaching Clark, you know, try to ask for a raise from Mr. Edge. I mean, the fact that they even have WGBS in it at all points to the fact that they were trying to make it match the comics at the time. If not, they just had them at the Daily Planet. So, you know, I appreciate that, the effort that they put into it.
This is a little bit of a sneak peek ahead, but you're right about the research. I mean, in the next story we're going to cover, they go as far as to cite Clark's address, and it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely went to the point of doing the research in the comics.
I'm wondering if these weren't written by some of the comic writers, because we know, was it Kerry Bates and Elliot S. Magan wrote two of the Batman stories, right?
Oh.
Well, Magan and Bates wrote Best Cop in the World.
Oh, okay.
They're actually credited.
Credited in Tomorrow the World. I see it right here.
Yeah, there you go.
Ah.
Yeah.
So. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Well, that explains everything. If I got my album out and looked at it, I got it out here. So.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's get right to it. Let's get to the one why Shag's here. Listen up. So next is Tomorrow the World.
It was like the end of the world. There was destruction everywhere. People scrambled around in hysterical panic. Cars and buses and taxis were slamming into each other by the second. Mass confusion reigned here in downtown Metropolis like never before. And the cause of all this?
No. I don't know what got into me. I didn't mean to cause all that destruction. I'm sorry. So sorry.
The time, 4 in the morning. The place, an apartment at 344 Clinton Street in Metropolis, where newscaster Clark Kent has been suffering through a night of fitful sleep.
That was some nightmare. The city looked like a tornado swept through it. The only trouble was, I was the tornado. After waking up from something like that, I could use a breath of fresh air.
The man that gets out of bed is accustomed to having the problems of the world upon his massive shoulders, whether asleep or awake. For this man, opening the window in his pajamas, is secretly the mighty Superman himself.
Great Krypton! Buildings demolished, cars piled up, people scrambling around in mass confusion. Then it wasn't a dream. It was all horribly real.
In stunned disbelief, the Man of Steel switches on his TV in search of some sort of explanation.
And here at the scene, our cameras clearly show the extent of the destruction, indicating it was truly a miracle that no lives were lost, although a small number of people were injured. And as unthinkable as it is to believe, all the eyewitnesses named the same culprit, Superman.
That's impossible. I was here asleep.
The mayor and law enforcement officials are said to be meeting right now to discuss what sort of action should be taken against Superman for this despicable display of superpowers on a rampage. As soon as a decision is reached, WGBS-TV will relay the information to you viewers. This is Lois Lane, here in the wake of chaos on 3rd Avenue, returning you now to our studios.
Thank you, Lois. We'll have more news after this commercial word.
Friends, do you ever worry about perspiration odor?
At least I think I was here asleep. Is it possible, conceivable, that I sleep, walked out of my apartment and went berserk as Superman? Could the memory of my rampage be so unbearable I blotted it out, thinking it was only a dream?
But wait, I've just been handed a bulletin. A small army of police have surrounded the laboratory retreat of arch-criminal Lex Luthor. All efforts to force him out in the open have been stymied by Luthor's arsenal of super-scientific weapons. Ordinarily, the police force would broadcast a plea to Superman for help. But in view of his recent wild rampage...
If it was me on that rampage, I should turn myself in. But not while Lex Luthor is still at large. Bringing in that fiend may be my last official act as Superman, but it's got to be done. And now!
Meanwhile, at the scene of the crisis, a deserted pavilion left behind from the 1968 Metropolis World's Fair.
Come out with your hands above your head, Luthor. We've got you completely surrounded, and more reinforcements are on the way.
You can call in the entire police force of Gotham City while you're at it, but there's no way any of you can break through the impenetrable force field I've projected around the pavilion. No
We've got the heavy artillery set up now, Chief.
All right, give the men the order to fire.
I don't believe it. Not one of them connected. I mean, we can't even see that crazy barrier, but it stops anything short of an A-bomb.
Don't kid yourself. It's probably Megaton-proof along with everything else. I don't know what we can... Superman!
I'm here to help.
I don't know if I should try to arrest you myself or call the Marines first.
I won't offer any resistance, Chief, as long as you let me arrest Luthor first.
But how do we know you won't turn wild again? I don't know.
Let's face it, Chief. Nothing we've got is going to get us inside that barrier. Superman's the only guy on Earth who can crack it.
Okay, Superman, you're on. Do what you do best.
My pleasure, Chief.
Wasn't even there.
Why do you think they call him Superman, Chief?
Glad you could make it, Superman. I've been expecting you.
What kind of no good are you up to this time, Luthor? And what's the purpose of the big gizmo sending a ray beam up into space?
That gizmo, as you put it, has been steadily stripping away a certain vital layer of the Earth's atmosphere for weeks now. What are you doing?
Melting your infernal machine into a puddle with my heat vision.
But it's too late, you caped fool. The damage has already been done.
What was it, Luthor? The ionosphere? The ozone layer?
No. It was something not even you have heard of, Superman. The Zota layer. But you'll never see it for yourself. My machine has destroyed it.
You deluded maniac.
But don't be alarmed. No one on Earth will be harmed, at least not directly. The only person who was protected by the Zota layer was you.
You've got exactly 3 seconds to start making sense.
There's a peculiar type of radiation out there that not even you are immune to, Superman. It affects your mind whenever you relax or go to sleep. Turns you into a wild man and makes you go absolutely berserk.
Great Scott! The destruction tonight in Metropolis.
That's right, old foe. It was you. And with the Zota layer gone, you can bet it will be happening a lot more often.
Look, Chief! Superman did it! He bagged Luthor!
Luthor's not moving, is he?
Just unconscious. I knocked him out cold. He's all yours.
Thank you, Superman. No one else could have done it. I don't know what to say.
Say you'll put me under armed guard, Chief, and that you'll notify the President and the Pentagon at once. I'm afraid I've become a national menace.
It doesn't take long for the nightmarish news to sweep the world like a shockwave. The mighty Man of Steel, once a super champion, admired by billions, has proclaimed himself a wild man, afraid of going on an uncontrollable rampage at any moment.
This is Lois Lane for WGBS. Ordinarily, Clark Kent would be delivering this newscast, but being such a close friend of Superman's, he has been too upset to report in for work. And that is easy to understand considering today's top story. President Fairlane spent the morning in conference with the nation's top scientists to discuss perhaps the greatest problem mortal men have ever had to bear, the fate of Superman.
And even as a distressed Lois delivers her grim newscast, the chief executive and the mightiest man on Earth are having a somber conference in the Oval Office of the White House.
People are afraid. Everyone knows now about the Zota layer and what can happen now that it's gone. All they have to do is look at those 10 blocks in Metropolis you leveled to the ground.
I'm sorry, sir.
Not as sorry as I am, or the world will soon be, about what I have to ask you to do. None of our leading scientists knows any way of restoring the Zota layer that Luthor removed. So I'm afraid we're only left with one alternative.
Yes, sir.
Superman, I must ask you to exile yourself from the planet Earth. Although your tremendous services to mankind will be gravely missed, I can fathom no other way of guaranteeing you won't go off on another destructive rampage.
Unfortunately, neither can I, sir.
Then it's settled.
Not quite, Mr. President. You realize, of course, that as soon as I'm off the Earth, Lex Luthor will use his super scientific wizardry to break jail. And with me gone, he'll do his best to rule the world with his fantastic machines.
You're right. And without a Superman to protect us, that bald-headed genius would probably succeed. Perhaps I should consult my advisors again.
No need, sir. The solution is simple. Have Luthor exiled from the Earth along with me. I'll make sure he never returns to menace anybody. It's the only way.
Yes, the only way.
It takes only one scant week for Superman to construct a 2-passenger interstellar rocket. Because he works without rest or relaxation, lest his mind succumb to the deadly radiation that has made him a potential wielder of doom. 1 week is all it takes for the career of the greatest superhero of all to come to an end.
And it's a beautifully executed launch, ladies and gentlemen, being broadcast all over the world simultaneously via satellite. Never in the history of mankind have so many people joined to watch one single event. And what a tragic event it is. The villainous Lex Luthor will not be missed. But Superman, watching Superman leave is the greatest loss the human race has ever faced. How we will fare the world today.
We'll be free of Earth's gravity in another 9.7 seconds. Enjoying the ride, Superman?
For a man leaving the world behind him, Luthor, you don't seem very concerned.
To tell you the truth, Superman, life on Earth would become quite boring without your meddling to contend with. Superman, you're breaking your straps. You're not supposed to get up until we finish climbing through the atmosphere.
Well, you see, old fool, I've just changed my mind. I'm going back to Earth alone.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about leaving, Luthor. I'm going to crash through the hull and leave you.
But you can't! You promised! If you break the hull, the ship will explode and I'll die!
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Wait, Superman! No!
And moments later at the White House, as the news of the spaceship's destruction reaches a dismayed President Fairlane by phone.
The ship did what? I don't believe it. How could Superman have fouled up like that? Superman, what are you doing back here? What did you do to Luthor?
Nothing, yet. As if you didn't know.
But they told me you abandoned the ship, left Luthor to die in space.
I left an android in space, an artificial duplicate of Luthor, exact in every detail, except one detail, its builder neglected. When we were taking off, the fake Luthor was completely unaffected by the force of the G's on takeoff as we broke free of the Earth's atmosphere. The real Luthor would have shown the stress on his face.
Incredible. But if Luthor wasn't in that ship, where is he?
Nice try, Luthor, but you're just not presidential material.
What are you saying?
You're not the real President Fairlane. You're Lex Luthor, wearing a latex mask and a voice adapter.
Very clever, Superman. I really thought I had you this time, but I've still got the upper hand.
How's that?
Only I know where I've hidden the real President Fairlane. And unless you let me go free, I'm not talking.
Is that right?
Oh, my face. It seems so hot under this mask. I've got to take it off.
You'll never make it, Luthor. I'm using my heat vision to melt your President Fairlane mask.
Please, stop. It feels like 10 sunburns at once. The mask is so hot and gooey.
Sure I'll stop. Just tell me where the real President is.
All right, you win. I'll take you to Fairlane. Just turn off the heat.
The next day, after President Fairlane is safely back in his office and Lex Luthor is safely behind bars, let's join Clark and Lois.
I don't get it, Clark. If there never was a Zoda layer in the atmosphere, what was that machine in Luthor's hideout Superman destroyed?
It was really a dream projector. Luthor beamed it at Superman's head when he flew overhead on patrol. And that night, he dreamed he went on a rampage.
But there really was a rampage. 10 blocks were leveled.
By a Superman android Luthor created with very limited strength. That's why Luthor chose 10 blocks that were mostly condemned buildings and ready to come down anyway.
Clark, why is it you're so incredibly well-informed when it comes to Superman?
Just doing my best to stay on top of the news, Lois. Don't worry. One of these days, a scoop will come your way. Wait and see.
Just for that, Clark Kent, lunch is on you.
And that is Tomorrow the World, which is my favorite of the three here. It's a gripping story. I love it. But Shag, you're here because of this one. So tell us all about it. Why do you love Tomorrow the World so much?
Oh, I listened to this thing as a kid so many times. It's a great sweeping Superman story. It's got drama and pathos. I mean, he's doubting himself. And I'll let Chris talk in a second here, but just so many of these scenes are what Bronze Age Superman is to me. And I don't want to start breaking them down one by one, but I get wrapped up in it. I feel sorry for Superman during the story. I feel horrible for him. And Lex is just a manipulative jerk at his best. So I'll talk about the scenes in a minute. Chris, what are your big picture thoughts?
I just want to know how we opened up on the finale of Man of Steel 40 years early, but I mean, you know.
Oh, snap!
That's the first thing I thought of. And of course, I listened to this as a kid, but I'm like, you know, people screaming. There's like 10 city blocks that are torn up. It's like, somewhere Ben Affleck is grimacing, you know, looking up all pissed off, you know.
Pulling a child.
Yeah. But yeah, I love it. It's, you know, for some reason, this one, I don't know why, because after I listened, I'm like, why did I remember that stupid super cop went over this one? But I don't know, there's something about the super cop popped in my head. But yeah, this one is much more of a, you know, epic. You could see this one being in, you know, one of the DC Super Spectaculars as a comic book at the time or something. Mm.
Well, if I start breaking it down scene by scene, like the opening scene with the chaos, you know, you mentioned it's 10 or 12 blocks. It's funny, like as a kid, you know, you're like you said, Rob, memory plays funny tricks on you. To me, the whole city of Metropolis was destroyed. And that's my memory of it. The whole town of Metropolis was destroyed by Superman.
They paint quite a picture with the audio cues. They really
do. Oh, yeah. No, I love all the Foleys they throw in there and everything. It's a lot of fun. But, yeah, it's just I really felt like it was very chaotic, and there was a lot of destruction in that scene where Clark's – now, if you look in the comic book version, which you can find on Rob's Power Record blog, when Clark's looking out the window of his apartment and sees all this chaos and how heartbroken he is over all of this and fearful, I just really felt that as a kid. And, by the way, I got to say the insulation on the windows on Clinton Avenue or Clinton Street is amazing because Clark didn't hear any of that until he opened the window.
With super hearing.
Yep. There's a lot of little throwaway things in here that are neat. Like they mentioned, you know, Metropolis had a World's Fair, which is so cool. And I always love the Superman flying sounds. I don't know if it's like the exact same effect, the Foley effect they used or sound effect they used in the 50s TV show, but it's darn close.
Yeah,
that, you know,
close.
Whooshing. And then the incidental music behind – when Luther's – this also stuck with – the minute when I re-listened to it today. When Luther's giving the explanation of the Zoda beams – and the incidental music comes up behind him, it's really bombastic. It's really dramatic. It's probably too much, honestly, because you can't help but notice it. But, like, to me, I think that sort of affected my love of incidental music. I love listening to soundtracks of shows where it's just incidental music. The more bombastic it is, I love it. Like, the early Doctor Who stuff from Murray Gold is really bombastic, almost overwhelms the story sometimes. I love that kind of stuff, and I think it came from this scene. It's almost like Johnny Quest level, boom, 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 boom kind of stuff. And the thing that really sticks with me and gives me friggin' nightmares to this day is when Clark melts the mask on Luther. That's just sick and twisted. I mean, it's bad enough when he bursts out of the rocket ship, leaving what you think Lex to die. And you feel like, you gotta go sometime. It's like, whoa, God, dude. But the melting of the mask, you can hear it sizzling on the record. And then you can see it in the book. You see his face melting. It just horrified the crap out of me. Because all I could think about was the hot plastic melting to his face. And, you know, just like, oh my, and Superman's punishing him. I mean, it's twisted how mean Superman's being. But, oh, still gives me shivers.
Yeah, Ross Andrews' version just can't measure up to what you can hear in your head, because it really does sound claustrophobic, and that just that horrible feeling of like your face melting off. I mean, Ross Andrews does a fine enough job, but yeah, I grew up on that one, and it always made me feel so like, oh God, that's immensely painful. And Superman really is. I mean, you always kind of live in fear that Superman really could microwave your insides if he wanted to. and the fact that he doesn't is because it makes him a hero. But it's like just the idea that he's kind of torturing Lex just a little bit is sort of like he's really a pissed off Superman in this one.
Well, he could have just yanked it off Scooby-Doo style.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. I did have one more note. I'm sorry. I've totally monopolized this one. But the other big emotional moment for me as a kid was when the president, who at that time you don't know is Lex, and like I guess I forgot every time I listened to it as a kid, I don't know, that it was Lex. But when the president asked Superman to leave the Earth, like I got so sad. Like the whole idea of being exiled from your planet, like, you know, it's like, wow, wow, what a lonely life he's going to have. And, you know, being away, and again, as a kid, I probably was thinking away from my parents or my family or whatever. But that really stuck with me as a kid as well. Oh, so sad. Such a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it's one of the best Superman ones, and they did a lot of good ones. I mean, I think they did a – I mean, I, you know, we've talked about it on the show before. I love all the Power Records, but they did some really good Supermans. I think this is probably maybe my favorite. I'd have to go back and listen to all the other ones. But this one is really good, and it still sticks with me all these years later. And I had the pink LP. That's the one I had. This book and record set I never had, so I came along later. But so it has something to do with the fact that I conjured all these images up in my imagination. And on the pink LP, I love how angry Luthor looks. Mm-hmm. He is just – Neil Adams is just channeling that, like, super enraged Luthor. I love that. And I love that it looks so angry for again, what's supposed to be a kid's record.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, I like – you know, there's so many little things that – that jump out at you. And there's things that Superman would do in the comic book, like he zaps the Zoda beam thing before he even figures out what it is. You know, it's like, why not just throw it into the sun, Superman? You know, you know, it's like, well, maybe you could have, you know, turned the off switch on, and, you know, but yeah, I mean, this, but yeah, the just the scope of this one, and I mean, the sound effects and the screams, that there's that one female scream that Power Record loves to do that almost, I mean, it's bordering on like a chimpanzee screaming or something. I don't know what that is. It's disturbing in all sorts. It might be the same scream of Red Wing from the Captain America one. I'm not sure. But,
jeez.
But it's, I think we should call that the, you know, there's a Wilhelm scream. That should right. be the Wilma scream for Power Record. But yeah, I mean, this just, yeah, the reveal, that this, like you said, the sizzling sound of the heat vision. I mean, it sounds like bacon, you know? It's just,
yeah.
It's like, oh my God. It's great.
10 sunburns at once.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that struck me today when I was listening to it, and Superman decks Luthor, right? Knocks him out. And he takes him to the police or whatever, and he throws him down. And he's like, you know, well, I don't remember what his exact words were. He says, like, I knocked him clean out or whatever. It's like, nowadays, if that kind of thing really happened, if you just went up to the cop and dropped somebody, he goes, oh, yeah, I just punched his lights out. They'd all, you know, all of a sudden there'd be a, you know, medical team swarming around him, and you're like, oh no, what have you done? And there's, oh yeah, you clocked him. Way to go.
Yeah, I mean, Luthor would be a bag of bones if Superman hit him. You know, he'd like, here's a bunch of loose cartilage. It used to be the shape of Lex Luthor. Can you do something with this? You know,
well, the art, he backslaps him.
Yeah.
Jack slaps him. Luthor goes flying across the room, and he's got what's almost like a laugh on his face. You know, it's like hilarious. There's that bit where Lois says, Clark is so upset he can't be here at work today. You know, it's just like, really?
Yeah, I think these point out, I think with them being acted out, they point out how, as much as it's a part of the Bronze Age, it really wasn't a good idea for Clark Kent to be the anchor of WGBS news, like in the SuperCop one where he leaves in the middle of a broadcast to become Superman and doesn't come back at super speed. You know, it's like,
that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
In the comics, you know, you don't have that whole kind of time. It's not, you know, it's not in front of you as a, you know, dramatic presentation, but here dramatized, it's like, yeah, I think he'd better off as like a newspaper reporter.
Yeah, why would you take a job, you know, where you have to disappear at all different times? Why would you take a job where you're on camera? It really not make any sense. I know, I'll be president, and then what will be able, you know, like, good idea, Clark. Yeah, I
mean, right.
What was that earlier moment, too, in one of the other stories where he tells Lois, he goes, I got to go. I'm going to go phone this story in. And you know, and that whole episode was about, that was the mix-up one. And it was all about Lois trying to catch him as Superman, like, the fact that he didn't phone that story in, she's totally going to be ticked off about that. So there's a lot of, like, what happened next things that you could do with these Power Records, which would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the book version of it, it's a couple pages, they get real text heavy. I mean, there's a couple of panels where it's just like a little head with this giant balloons. And clearly the writers, Bates and Magan, didn't quite think it through, because it said some of these things, it's just like, it's like a Steve Skeet story. I mean, there's just so many words in a panel. But, you know.
You're right. You're absolutely right. The stuff where he's talking to the president the first time and leading up the rocket, those panels are hilarious. There's so many letter words.
When you hear it, it sounds fine. It doesn't sound all that bulky. But when you see the words, you're like, my God, there's barely any room for Superman to be taught. It's all just yada, 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 yada. Like, the letterer really worked overtime.
It's the John Byrne info dump 10 years earlier, you know, at the end of a John Byrne Superman story, Superman's head would be in the corner of a panel and all these giant balloons are, you know, explaining what happened, you know, it's crushing him.
It's also the compressed storytelling. I mean, they're probably used to telling the story in 24 pages at that point. And here they got like, you know, I don't know, eight.
It's like 14 or 15 or something like that. So, and actually, probably here it's only eight, actually, these things. So. Is that it? Do we have anything else to say about these three Superman adventures?
Super fun. And I just want to tell you guys, I really enjoy the Power Record show. It's a lot of fun. Some of my favorites have been those Star Trek stories, and I loved the $6 Million Man stories. Are there more of those for you guys to do?
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear Chris do his Kentucky Lee Majors more. So I loved those. Those are a win with my column.
Yeah, those were a lot of fun to do. Yeah.
Yeah, this is it. The Power Records were, as you said, super fun. Super, super fun. And as I said, I can't believe we haven't really gotten to Superman to this point. And we're going to be doing more Superman for the next episode, because obviously we're going to be doing another one in time with the Batman v Superman release. But that's only 2 months away at this point. Can you believe it? That's only two months away.
Hard to believe.
But it's still hard to believe when Force Awakens was announced. And we're like, oh my gosh. And it was, 2 years away at that point?
Yep.
And then we've all seen it now. I mean, those 2 months are going to be over like that.
Yep.
And then the internet nerds will eat themselves like they did after Man of Steel.
We all have that to look forward to. Yes. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Power Records Podcast. As always, Chris, my pal, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, they can find me at the Supermates Podcast, which is supermatescomic.blogspot.com, or on the Fire and Water Network. Part of the Fire and Water Network, yay! So you can find me there or on iTunes, and I do that show with my wife, Cindy, so check us out.
Shag, what about you?
You can find me at firestormfan.com, also on Facebook and Twitter under those same handles. And as Chris was alluding with the Fire and Water Podcast Network, we now have a Facebook page, and you just type in Fire and Water Podcast Network, you'll find it. And you can also find us on Twitter, which is FW Podcasts with an S at the end. In fact, that's our new hashtag, folks. If you want to tweet about this stuff, if you want to do some live tweeting, maybe listen to the Power Records, you know, tweet Mitsuplik quotes, I don't know, try and spell everything out without vowels, that'll actually get you down to less than 140 characters, probably. Anyway, use #FW Podcasts. So use the S at the end, and that's going to be our new hashtag for the network. Looking forward to it.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Sweet.
If you want to send an email, we're going to get to email for the next episode. We didn't get to do it this time. It's firewaterpodcast@conquest.net. And as Shag said, use the new hashtag, well, not the hashtag, but the ad address, which is @FW Podcasts. And you can find me on AquamanShrine.net, I guess, technically, and on the Fire and Water and Film and Water podcast. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Chris, thank you once again.
Oh, glad to be here. Anytime.
And Shag, thank you for coming to visit.
For this apparently only one time.
It's only one time. I hope you enjoyed it. Anyway, thanks, everybody, for listening. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Until then, drop the needle and turn the page.
I hear the Power Record after parties are awesome. Where do I go?
The exit door.
Come, Robin. Into the Batmobile and home.
So hot under this mask. I've got to take it off.
You'll never make it, Luthor. I'm using my heat vision to melt your President Fairlane mask.
Please, stop. It feels like 10 sunburns at once. The mask is so hot and gooey.
Sure, I'll stop. Just tell me where the real President is.